if you're gonna give something for free, make sure you find ways of giving a good story with the free thing so that they still value being able to share that story. Okay, Dr. D, we're here with another episode of ThoughtWave. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey everyone, welcome to ThoughtWave. This is your free source of where we discuss.
Oh, free? Are we sure we really want to go with like a free brand on this?
It is free and people love free.
Is it free because time is value, right? And people are giving their time in order to be here. And so I'd still consider that an exchange of value. So is it free?
In that context, it probably isn't, right? Because they're having to choose to do this over something else. So it's a resource that they're giving.
Lots of other podcasts you could be listening to. Thank you for giving your time and money here for this free podcast.
This is a free podcast. And it is your source of tips, tricks, and hacks for audience builders, entrepreneurs, and people who just want to do things. And should we just talk about, is free a good idea as an entrepreneur? You know, you hear about freemium, people give free samples. What do you think about free?
We could probably do 10 episodes on free. This is great. And I had a really interesting experience with free yesterday as the time we're recording this. So let me tell you this ridiculous story, and it involves Krispy Kreme donuts and a chapel. And so basically, I guess yesterday was, I want to say it was World Kindness Day or something. It's like every day is 10 different made up holidays now. I think today is like International Genetic Counselor Day or something. Again, like, okay, apparently we get to claim days. You know what, by the way, next Thursday is International We Love ThoughtWave Day. Just throwing that out there.
We gotta celebrate.
Yeah, we gotta make sure everyone knows. Anyway, World Kindness Day, and Krispy Kreme Donuts apparently is giving away a free dozen donuts to, like, the first 500 people to show up to each of their stores as World Kindness Day. Which makes sense, by the way, because I learned this really interesting fact about Krispy Kreme. I call it a fact, and then now I'm gonna get the statistic wrong, but I think it's something like 62%, it's like 62 or 68, some number like that. 62% of all consumed Krispy Kreme donuts are consumed by the person who didn't pay for them. Which is really interesting. Yeah. Isn't that a wild stat? First of all, like, it's a product that you think of as giving, which I love. So I guess they're leaning into that in their brand. But by chance, yesterday, I had made a deal with Krispy Kreme to get 50 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts because I was using them in my class. I have this class I teach called Learning to Fail, where I do these crazy, ridiculous challenges. And I just come in, I'm like, okay, you have an hour to do something ridiculous. And this time it was, you have an hour to build Duke Chapel using Krispy Kreme donuts.
Nice. That sounds like fun.
My life is weird sometimes. I will admit that was a weird moment. But anyway, so I had to go into Krispy Kreme to get, you know, hundreds of donuts, and I had no idea that this thing was going on. And I show up, and there's just a line out of the parking lot of cars waiting to go through the drive-thru. Who knew Krispy Kreme's had drive-thrus? I didn't even know. And there were all these people inside. And so eventually I have to, like, jump the curb because I'm running out of time and I need to get these donuts. So I had to, like, jump the curb to go the wrong way down the road to, like, park in front of the store so I could get it. And I walk into the store and there's this huge line. And then I go to pick up my order and it wasn't quite done yet. They had like 30 of my 50 boxes ready, but they had to get the other 20. And so they're sitting there and every donut that's coming off that shelf is just going to me. And there's this line of people. Wow. Trying to get their free donuts, and I swear I thought I was going to be knifed to death by people waiting for their free Krispy Kreme donuts on World Kindness Day, which what a way to die, by the way. That should be on my tombstone, knifed to death on World Kindness Day by people getting free donuts. But the whole time I was thinking, and here's where I want your thoughts on this, is why were these people, so many people waiting, you know, hour or more in line for, you know, a $10 box of donuts? Like, isn't their time worth more than that? What's going on here? Why do people do that?
That's such a great question. And there's a lot of controversy around free, because a lot of the clients that we talk to, they're always wondering, hey, should I give away some of my product for free? There's this talk about freemium, where you get somebody to use your product at a baseline level, and then they ultimately are upsold into the bigger platform or the bigger package. And then there's all these consultants out there, people in the service industry, who are told, hey, give away something for free, give away all your information for free, kind of like what we're doing right now and here, and then people will ultimately come, because what you're doing is you're building trust and you're building some kind of relationship. And so I would say, you know, in general, when you're talking about consumable products, there's this incredible draw, and I think people value in general that the gift of free over the value of their time, because time is a very hard thing to value. And I think we're also not considering there's the experience of going to the store. I'm willing to bet it wasn't just, you know, one person standing in line, but maybe they had their kids or significant others, and it was a new event in the morning. So what did you see in line? Like, what kind of observations were, who was standing in this line?
So actually, I want to believe that, but that's also struck me as I was looking at the people. It seemed like individuals.
Just individuals.
There was no like party atmosphere. There weren't people chatting. And a lot of them in like gym clothes, workout clothes, which by the way is its own level of irony.
That's confusing.
Sure. It was like, all right, so you either came from a run or you're going to do a run, but you're going to get this box of donuts in the meantime.
They earned it.
I guess so. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not a festive atmosphere. It was a bunch of angry people. Part of the anger might have been directed at Dr. Dinan here taking, you know, all their donuts. But though I think you're right. Just a quick asterisk is one thing I feel like people do a lot is that they go in with this idea of, oh, I'm going to give you, you know, oh, you hate waiting in line or something like that. I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs propose apps that help you avoid like waiting in line for your food and stuff like that. And here's the thing I always say is, you know, if I'm out to the mall with my kids and, you know, suddenly I have to wait in line at the food court or wait in line at the cash register and then like my kids go off and do something, like, that's my moment to pull out my phone, check my emails, like my social, whatever. It's kind of like a nice moment that I have a built-in excuse. And so I don't necessarily want to get rid of that line waiting. So you're right. There is value in line waiting, and we shouldn't overlook that.
Yeah, it's a really good point. So let's explore this for a second, okay? So we've got, you know, a line out the door because this box of donuts is now free. What does a box of donuts typically cost at Krispy Kreme?
I was looking at it. It was I think $12.58 or something like that, right?
$12.58. Yeah. So it costs $12.58. And so I'm going to go wait in line for an hour for $12.58. So one would assume I value my time less than that $12.58.
Yeah.
Right? But people aren't thinking about it in that way, because here's the thing that I think you teach in one of your classes, which I think is a very valuable. You'll have to remind me which one is it. It might be the learning to fail, but where you've got to sell something and try to get a higher value item each time you do the thing, right? Am I getting this right? Did you have to do this in class?
Yeah, so I've done that. You know, it's like the classic paperclip trade challenge that I don't do anymore because everyone does it. And I'm like, well, I got to be different, but yeah.
Right. Okay. So at any rate, I think part of the future value of this thing ultimately is a part of the equation, meaning like I'm going to be able to give this box of donuts to somebody at my work or a loved one or hand them out to people. And there's an immense amount of value in that because I'm essentially going to be currying favor. So maybe the payoff of buying these donuts, maybe that's part of what's in this equation ultimately. And maybe we can start thinking about that in the context of what we're doing, giving away free information as consultants, or giving away free services, or starting a freemium product line or pricing and packaging. I wonder if there's something about the future use of that thing. I don't think it erases the fact that I'm still standing in line for an hour for a $12.58 box of donuts.
You're right. That's a great thing to bring up because my immediate mind was going to, I think there's, you know, these times in life when you the consumer starts to change, like how they trade off time and money. And this is why CEOs have private jets, you know, and my time is not worth enough for a private jet yet. But as it gets busier and busier, I start to notice that, oh, I could see how there is a point at which, you know, you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and that extra 2 hours you save, you know, if your time is valued at, you know, $15,000, $20,000 an hour, it actually makes sense. That's not the important business lesson in here. The important business lesson in here is to wonder what makes people value free. If you're giving away for free, how do you create something that people are going to value? And you're right with, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts. If I go get that 12 donuts, I'm probably not going to eat them all myself, though. I don't want to judge anyone who would. But yeah, so I'm getting it because, you know, maybe I want to be able to bring it into someone. I want the story to tell. Let's maybe pull on the story to tell narrative, because I do this a lot with my students. Is I, you know, I give them in the same class where I was building chocolate chapel or building donut chapels, I'll make them do silly things like, you know, try to sell a Jolly Rancher for $100. And what I try to explain to the students is even that person says no, and you know, they're all embarrassed interrupting someone else to ask them if they'll buy a Jolly Rancher for $100. Say, no, you're creating value for them, because you know what that person gets to do is later they're going to be talking to their friends and be like, guess what? Some kid came up to me and tried to sell me a Jolly Rancher for $100. How ridiculous is that? You gave them an interesting story. And so that person who went to Krispy Kreme maybe gets more than just those dozen donuts. They get the story of, oh, I saw in the paper it was World Kindness Day and I wanted to be kind to you. And, you know, and so they're selling the story, and that's immensely valuable.
I think that's a really great point. And there's the follow-on effect. Again, what we were just talking about, there's this balance of value. So now they've got this story that they can go in, and they're going into their colleagues or wherever they're going, and they're saying, hey, I got this free box of donuts. And it becomes this thing. Oh man, you got that free box of donuts. I heard about that. I can't believe, you were able to get that. So there's probably value in the story that way. So like as we're thinking through, what are the parameters you think should be considered when you're thinking about giving away your product or service or some component of it for free? Should you never do it? Are there certain instances in which, the freemium model is the right model to follow? Like, what do you think the lines are for this?
So the warning about free that I've always heard and always given is that if you give something for free, the customer doesn't value it. So, just trying to get someone to use something like, oh, just use this product for free, I think you're gonna love it. What you're gonna find is because they didn't pay, they don't have skin in the game, they don't value it. And so that's the warning. And so I think somewhere in this Krispy Kreme story, I'm having a thought wave.
That's
Like
good.
this is way I've got like four articles that I want to write about this because it's all becoming clear. It's if you're going to give something for free, make sure you find ways of giving a good story with the free thing so that they still value being able to share that story. And like that's the beauty of the donuts, right? I had this aha moment as you're saying it. Oh yeah, these people get to go and tell a story. And you know what? I contributed to that story because now they get to go in and say, not only did I go get these free donuts, but there was this jerk who pulled up on the curb and took all the donut, and I had to sit there and wait even longer, but I still went through all that for you. Aren't I an amazing person? So we've got to find a way, even with this podcast, how can we give people a good story listening to this podcast?
Well, let's dig into that because I think one thing we're talking about the fact that there are people that are waiting in line, and that has been the focus of this part of the conversation to this point. But what we're not talking about is we're not talking about why Krispy Kreme decided to give those donuts away for free because those are the people, Krispy Kreme, that is our listener base, right? They're the people who are trying to sell a product or service. So in that case, if you think about it, what does Krispy Kreme get out of this? Well, they get lines outside the door. I bet you they had photographers or social media people who are out there who are taking footage of people waiting in line for an hour. I bet they got to hand free coffee and like maybe a donut to people in line. So there's this goodwill that's created. There's some great stories. And then it's all for this special day, this World Kindness Day. So now Krispy Kreme gets associated with this beautiful act of kindness. And there's infinite numbers of stories, content, etc. Like if it was us, and you know how we teach people how to build their audiences online, and a lot of that is trying to get really great, compelling stories and content. Well, you know what I would have probably have done? I would have had somebody out there who was going to each of the people in line and interviewing them and asking them, what are you going to do with these donuts? Where are you taking them? Who's going to benefit from these donuts? And I would get all of these consumer stories about where are these going to go. And you know what? You might find a thread to pull in that. So now all of a sudden, you're taking that story and you're like, hey, can I follow you? You said you're gonna take this to the homeless shelter down the street, or you're gonna walk around downtown and you're gonna hand them out. Can I tag along as this happens and like watch this story? So all of a sudden, you get, let's say a quarter worth or a year worth of amazing content about how people are taking your product and using it to spread goodwill.
That's a really great way of looking. And that wasn't happening at the Krispy Kreme store where I was at. And you're right, it should have been out. I guess to be fair, they probably have a bunch of them. Maybe it was happening at other. We should go check the Krispy Kreme socials. It's what I did with the donuts. So not only did so I got 10 dozen donuts for each of my students to build chapels with. It was a weird sentence to say, but there it is. And and then I got an extra 10 dozen specifically because I knew it was going to create a. We did it in front of Duke Chapel, which was ridiculous. And so we're very public. And so of course all these people are walking by and trying to figure out like what the heck is going on here. And they're seeing people build donuts. I'm like, hey, would you like a donut too? And so you're right. So I was using the donuts as part of the story. And the reason I do it, by the way, is, and this is what I'm often telling my colleagues, it's kind of the approach I take to my classes and my coursework is I always, I understand that the way people decide to do things on a campus, the way students make their choices on a campus is word of mouth. It's what everyone else talks about. And what I realized is, nobody ever walks out of an organic chemistry class saying, oh, you'll never believe what I did in organic chemistry today. And so what I really try to do is not only am I trying to, it's all about the learning experience, but I want to couch that learning experience in something that someone wants to walk out of and say, oh my gosh, you'll never believe what I did in class today. And my students do it all the time. They go tell their friends, they call their parents. There are lots of parents who like, they immediately, they expect a call from the child after class and they go, so what'd you do in class today? And that spreading the word makes the class more popular, more people know about it. And those are my customers. So lots of people sign up for the next semester. And I think you as the business owner, you need to be thinking that too. It's not just about give this thing away for free, or it's not just about create the experience, but it's like, how do you create something that people are going to want to go tell everyone else about?
I think that's exactly right. And you know, as you think about it, we probably have a lot of folks on here who are service providers or are consultants, things like that. Well, a lot of times when you're providing a service for free, you're getting something in return, meaning you're getting a testimonial in return, or you're getting practice in return. And I think that's incredibly valuable. You know, one of the great tips that you shared on social media one time is you said, you know, hey, if you need a LinkedIn banner, go to a stage, get somebody to film you up on that stage, take a photo of you, and put that on your LinkedIn banner. It doesn't matter if the audience is empty, nobody's gonna know. And that was such a cool idea, a way of getting a shot of you being in a credible position, somebody who is in front of people on a stage here. And so I think oftentimes what you can do is if you can give away free like webinars, seminars, things like that, you can fill an audience. And then you know what I would do is I would have a videographer there. And I would use that as an opportunity. I'd give away a lot of great information. I'd fill an audience, and then I'd have a videographer there filming the thing so that I could get some good B-roll and footage of me presenting whatever topic it is that is valuable to the audience that I'm serving. So I think that's another way to think about this is when you're giving away something for free, make sure you understand the value that you want to extract in return, because free just means there is no exchange of currency. But it doesn't mean there isn't an exchange of value that's happening as a part of this.
We need to have a totally different perspective on free. I love that. So here's the billion-dollar question for us right now. So we're giving away this podcast for free at the moment. How would you take something like a podcast, and what can we do with listeners? What would make you want to share? Let us know.
Love
What would
that.
make you want to
Please let
share?
us know. Please let us know. And I think what's great about this. What's great about podcasts in general are there's these really great conversations that are having. So we may be giving away this for free, but some of the value that we get in return is we've had people who've said, hey, we want you to talk about X, Y, and Z afterwards from people that have listened to the podcast. They've shared it with their friends and say, hey, you need to take a listen to this episode. It was super helpful for me. So there's this word of mouth that can be generated from this. And you and I have talked all the time about how podcasts aren't great top of the funnel ways of generating leads. So anybody here listening, podcasts are not to generate leads at the end of the day. What they're really good at doing is generating trust and relationship because it gives you an opportunity to deepen your relationship with somebody you might have just seen a few clips on social media about, and now you're able to hear like in depth. What do they know? Is this somebody that I can trust? Is this somebody that I should listen to? So don't think about podcasts as that top of the funnel thing. Think about it as a way to deepen and build trust with your audience.
Yeah, that's such a good point about anyone listening to this should think about how did you get into this particular podcast? You didn't get here because you were searching Apple Podcasts for a new business or entrepreneurship startup, two dudes talking podcast. There's plenty of those. And so you got here because of something else. So you're right. I guess it's understanding how these different items, what role these different items, these different assets play in your customer acquisition funnel. Free is a part of your customer acquisition funnel. And it's actually in multiple parts of your customer acquisition funnel, right? So if you're creating social media content, you're giving that away for free. If you're creating a podcast, you're giving that away for free. Maybe a newsletter that you're giving away for free. But each of those things aren't doing the same thing in your funnel. One is maybe top of the funnel lead gen. Excuse me. One is maybe top of the funnel lead gen. One is nurturing. One is trust building. And so you got to understand, like, free is actually a big tent. And maybe you shouldn't think so when someone's asking, should I give X away for free? It's like, well, or, is free bad or good? And there is no like yes or no answer. It's, well, it depends what you're giving away for free. What you probably don't want to give away for free is your core product, right? Giving away your core product for free. I mean, you could argue Krispy Kreme is giving away their donut for free, but that's actually not their core product. We can talk about what their core product is in a second. But if you're a SaaS company, like, I'm going to give you that free. I'm so sure you're going to like it. I'm going to give you the 1 month trial for free. Well, okay, cool. I'm going to get it for free, but because I didn't pay anything, maybe I'm not getting value out of it. Oh, no, maybe that's all right. I feel like I'm going the wrong way. Here's what I did a lot as an entrepreneur: is when I was first trying to get things up and running, I would be so desperate to get someone to use it. I'd be like, you don't even have to pay. You just use my thing for free, just because I wanted to be able to say such and such company was using it. And while I could maybe go around and say such and such company was using it, that company never used it. I I never, there was never once a time when I gave my product, even to AdWorks, which is a company that, for you that's listening, Chris and I, that's where Chris and I met, and I was, we worked on that company together before I started working for them, and they were my client. I actually had a software that I was selling into them, and I gave them my software for free, and they never used it. And while I did tons of work for that, I had to port all their like million plus leads into my system for this store. I'm still bitter about this, because not only did I port in over a million leads in my system at great, great expense and time of my work, I was up for hours for multiple days late into the night. Well, once I did it, I discovered like, oh wow, we couldn't even put those into Salesforce because it was too big of a list. And so basically I did something that they couldn't even do themselves in their own CRM plan. Anyway, I'm not
sound bitter at all.
Is it cold? Did it get cold in here?
Yeah. But one of the things that you're bringing up, Aaron, is really important. How do you get people to eat free? Okay. So let me tell you an interesting anecdote about donuts and getting people to eat donuts. Just because you bring donuts into an oven or an office does not mean people are going to eat them. I one time brought a box of delicious donuts into the office, and apparently like everybody in the office had gone on some kind of diet where they weren't eating sugar anymore. And I was like, this is insane. I brought donuts in. Never in my life have I seen people not eat donuts. So here's what I did. I said, you know what? It's maybe really hard for people to justify eating a full donut. But what if I cut those donuts and made them smaller? It's way easier to justify eating half a donut, right? So I cut the donuts in half. Lo and behold, the donuts start being eaten. Now, there's still plenty of donuts left by lunch. So half wasn't the right answer. So you know what I did? I went back and I cut them into quarters. So now I have the halves. So now there's all these quarters of donuts. Guess what people can justify? They can justify eating a quarter. And if you eat one quarter of a donut, chances are you'll eat another quarter of a donut. And so by the time, within the next hour after having done this, the whole box was gone, okay? I'm willing to bet it would have been there if I hadn't started cutting them to see into smaller bite-sized pieces. So I wonder if there is also an element to getting people to, quote, eat free, right? So just because you offer something for free doesn't mean people are going to want to consume it in any meaningful way. A la what you were just talking about, you gave it away for free, nobody used it. So does this lend itself to saying, all right, well, maybe you give away the smallest piece of value that you can give away for free as a part of your freemium offering. It's not the whole kit and caboodle. So there's still value left to be had. There's still a reason to upsell people on the remainder of your product.
Yeah, I love that. That reminds me of so something else we did at another company. Was I remember I had we carved off a plugin, a Chrome extension from our product that we could give away for free. And that Chrome extension wound up being used by hundreds, maybe even millions of people by the time it was all said and done. And it was, you know, again, it was lead gen, but it was lead gen into our product. And so once people used it, you know, they got used to, you know, sitting there in their email box, there's our little logo that's always there. And it was giving them a tiny little snippet of value. And so then the sales process became much easier because now you're going into someone and you're already a trusted provider. So maybe another way of thinking about free is, hey, let me give you a snippet of value so that you start to build trust with me. You know, and I guess that's probably what Krispy Kreme is doing, right? So this, I said, oh, I feel like I need to justify this. You know, I said, you know, Krispy Kreme's core product isn't a donut. And yes, obviously they sell donuts, but you know, when you go back to that stat, that, you know, 62%, 68%, whatever it is, people buy Krispy Kreme for other people, what they're doing is they're selling kindness is a core reason. You know, I guess my sense is a lot of people don't just go into Krispy Kreme because they, you know, feel like a donut. Oh, let me go to Krispy Kreme. And so it's like, oh, I need to do something nice for other people. Let me go get a donut. And so they're selling, let me do something nice for other people. And so how do they get people to trust it? Well, like, hey, let's do something nice for you and show how great you feel when we've done something nice for you. And so it's kind of an interesting way of building trust.
That's a really great point. And going back, like, one of the things you're making me think of too, as you're talking about giving away individual units for free, in your case, you know, this Chrome plugin that you gave away for free. Okay. A lot of people from a lead gen perspective are taught you need to have lead magnets as a part of your customer acquisition strategy. Okay. So you need a lead magnet as a part of your acquisition strategy. And there is a right way and a wrong way to do that. The right way to do that is you find the most valuable part of your whole system, you package that up into a bite-sized unit, and you give that away for free. Now, it's not going to solve the entire problem. And one person that I think is awesome at this, who gave a great analogy, is Justin Welsh. He He's a talking head on LinkedIn, does a lot of great posting, has a great newsletter, and he talks about it as the pizza process. So if you're somebody who sells a course on how to make the best pizza, you find the thing that is the hardest thing to do in that process, which in his analogy was making the dough. You package up the whole process of making the dough into a nice digestible unit, right? We take that and we put it into a download, an ebook, a video, whatever you need to put it into, and you give that away for free. However, in that lead magnet, in that thing, you say, hey, but you don't know how to make the sauce. You don't know how to do the toppings. You don't know the temperature at which to cook the various types of pizza that we're going to be going over. If you want to know the whole thing, here's the course that you can take, or here's the download or the book or whatever you can buy in order to figure out the entire process. But what you've done is you've built trust that you can solve one specific problem for your customer that will get them a significant step closer to solving the overall problem that they have, in this case, making a pizza.
So let's put a bow around all that. Let's see if we can turn this into, help me write my article that I'm gonna write about this later. It's the actual takeaway. So so it's, if you're gonna do free, it's not just, let me do free because people love free. I mean, that's a very shallow understanding. That's the consumer understanding of free. Ooh, I'm just getting something for free. The strategic business understanding of free is that you have to be very thoughtful. You have to be very intelligent about how you're deploying free. And so certain things we've talked about here is you want to put mechanisms in place to create value for yourself around the free. So the example we were doing is that, you know, if you're going to have the free donut giveaway, make sure you got people in line, interviewing, taking pictures, whatever, creating content for you so you can build content around it. So that's one way that we want to think about and use free. We want to think about free. We want to understand that free exists at different parts of the funnel. And so what you're giving for free matters. Are you using it as lead gen? And how you use free as lead gen is different than how you use the free as nurturing, which is free, different than how, you know, if it's your core product and what you're selling, that changes. We talk about free for building trust. The core of that free is a good trust building mechanism, a familiarity mechanism. And once you build that trust, it actually just becomes easier to sell even the same thing to someone. But now they're going to trust that they're going to get value out of it. What were some of the other, I feel like we covered like a gajillion ways to be strategic about free.
Yeah, I think the other important aspects about free that we talked about were making sure that your free thing is bite-sized enough for people to consume it readily and easily, and for it to solve a very specific problem in the moment that they're consuming that thing.
That was it. Yeah, that's it. Now I feel like I'm feeling way more educated on free. I don't think I think I had a very superficial understanding of free as well. Oh, there's one other thing. It was giveawayable. Or say give someone a story to tell around the free. Make sure you package it with a story so that they can leverage the free beyond, ooh, I just got this thing for free. Because when you just make it this transactional thing that's free, you just got it, and there's no reason to do anything else with it. Well, now it really was a loss from the company. If I'm just giving you something, you're like, cool, I got it, move on. That's no good. It's let me give you this free thing so that you go and want to tell other people about it. How do you turn that free into something viral?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And one thing that we didn't talk about that we could talk about as a part of that is a lot of folks, it's, you know, getting to the end of the quarter, we're in the holidays, it's the end of the year, people are trying to close deals, and a big part of closing deals oftentimes is giving away discounts.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if you think about it, like oftentimes that could be a free thing that you're giving away, is this free discount. Now, the way that I coach the folks that I work with on how to use free and discounts at the end of the year, end of the quarter, is you, in that instance, you give to get. So if you're going to give away a discount at the end of the year, end of the quarter, make sure there's some value provided in return, whether that's a testimonial, whether that is the deal closes a little bit more quickly, so there's some urgency involved with it, but just make sure there is something that is being returned so that, again, they won't value the thing, they won't value the discount in this case, unless there is also something being returned of value in that way too. So as our listeners are thinking about this, really important to remember, give to get when you're giving discounts.
The art of the discount is, I mean, gosh, that's its own thing, right? Like, as I start to think about, yeah, we are getting the holiday season, right? We're going to get into Black Friday. Here comes Black Friday, everyone. That's the whole thing is built around this idea of discount and deal. There's this thing that, I don't know, did you do this around, was it Prime Day, that Amazon really does this big, is where basically all they do is they jack up the prices for like 2-3 weeks beforehand, and then they give discounts on everything. And here's the thing, I know that, like, I'm in business, not for a long time, I understand they do this, and I still like, woo, it's Prime Day, let me go get my discounts.
It's yeah.
Why are we such stupid monkeys, Chris? Like, give me a banana and
it just happens.
I'm there. I almost feel dirty. I feel dirty with how jacked up. So, do you know there's this I don't know if I can reference him. Is it okay? Dan Ariely, who is a bit of a, I think he's a bit of a pariah, but he's a colleague here too. But he's got this, and predictably irrational, he's got this great story. I guess the study he did where they kind of set out, they spent like a few days setting out with free Hershey Kiss that people could just have, or they could pay 49 cents for like a nice Lindt truffle chocolate. And of course everyone took the free Hershey Kiss and nobody took the fancy truffle chocolate. And then they went out and they did the same thing, except they charged a penny for the Hershey Kiss and 50 cents for the truffle. And there was no difference in how much, you know, money people were losing, in terms of these things. And nobody took the Hershey Kiss and everyone took the truffle. And so there was this weird kind of...
Wait, so as soon as they increased the price of the Hershey Kiss by 1 cent. So it's just, I just had to put a penny down and I would get the Hershey Kiss. As soon as it wasn't free, the scale tipped and everybody bought the truffle.
Totally tipped. And I think I might've said it backwards. They started with the 50 cent truffle and the 1 cent Hershey Kiss. Everybody bought the truffle. Nobody cared about the Hershey Kiss. And then they took it down to 49 and zero. And suddenly, that totally changed it. But it's, I think that's a better way of saying what happened. But it's interesting, the power of free is wild, and I would put in there the power of discount is also wild. It's just this idea that I'm getting something. Why are we so addicted to discount?
That's such a great question, and I don't think we're going to be able to answer that question here, but hopefully all of the free analysis information, etc., was valuable to everybody who was listening to this podcast today. And as we always say, if you found this valuable, go out, post about it, tell people, send in questions, comments, things that you like, things that you want to hear next, and share it with everybody, right?
Talk to me about free. Yeah, tell me why discounts are so, why do we love them? If you know, let us know.
Let us know. Well, shall we wrap it up?
Let's do it. All right, everyone.
Thank you, Dr. D. Thank you to all our listeners. Again, this is ThoughtWave. This is your free source of great tips, tricks, and hacks for audience builders, entrepreneurs, and people who just want to do things. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, share, tell all your friends that you got some great free things today. See you out there.